This is Indiana Public Radio News. I'm Stan Sollers. The third week of the spring semester is almost done, and a number of challenging issues face colleges and universities across the country in the new year of 2024. Among them are hate speech and the wrestling match with the First Amendment. Also, the spread of firearms across the country, including on college campuses. Joining us for our first Ball State update of 2024 is President Jeff Mearns. President Mearns, welcome back.
It's good to be with you, Stan. Good morning.
Good to have you here. Let's start off with an issue that has, at least in part, prompted two Ivy League presidents to resign after vague answers in a congressional hearing regarding hate speech. First, what is Ball State's code of conduct position on hate speech, while the university tries to balance First Amendment freedom of speech rights?
And your question really poses the challenge, right? Balancing First Amendment with ensuring a safe and welcoming campus. So we've been proactive to address this important issue. 4 years ago, in January of 2020, I recommended to the board, and the Board of Trustees approved, several significant important changes to all of our employee handbooks and to the Student Code of Rights and Responsibilities. It's a lengthy document, but let me just share a couple of the key elements or the provisions in that policy that really addresses the balance you're talking about. First of all, at its core, this policy reaffirms the university's unwavering commitment to free speech and to intellectual debate and inquiry. And it also recognizes that because we're a diverse community, we've got people who have different perspectives and different opinions, and that because we have a diverse community, it's often these ideas and opinions are going to conflict with one another. And we're not going to monitor or shield or suppress ideas and opinions that people may find offensive, that they disagree with. Balanced against that, though, the policy reaffirms our expectation that on our campus, people will engage in those debates and discussions with civility and mutual respect. Doesn't mean we'll suppress or sanction disrespectful or offensive speech, but we certainly want to reiterate that we expect people to engage with civility. Now, there are some rare instances where our policy provides that we can and will restrict and possibly sanction some forms of expression. That is, if speech is clearly illegal, the famous yelling fire in a crowded movie theater. So if the speech is illegal, if the speech is defamatory to another person, and this is, I think, the sticking point that those presidents you refer to at, if the speech constitutes a genuine threat or harassment, that is prohibited. We will restrict that, and we will sanction somebody who engages that. Also, if the speech invades someone's privacy. So we strike the balance clearly in favor of freedom of discussion and debate, but provide narrow exceptions to that core principle in those rare instances.
So what is your role as president in managing this issue?
So I think my role on this issue is similar to my role in other cases. So I initiated the process that led to this new policy, began that review back in 2019, mm-hmm. and I assembled and appointed a representative committee to conduct research, look at what other universities were doing, and to draft the proposed policy that we submitted to the board. After the board approved that, I then asked each vice president to review all of the other policies in their various areas, student affairs, academic affairs, and the like, review all of those policies in the existing policies or pre-existing policies to ensure alignment with this new university policy. And then I guess, maybe the last thing is I've encouraged my colleagues, particularly our provost, our academic deans, and our vice president of student affairs, to try to disseminate training and education for their colleagues on how to apply this policy under various circumstances, because no policy can anticipate every particular issue, but we want to try to be prepared in advance to understand how we strike the delicate balance that you posed in your question.
Now, the state legislature is considering a bill that would ban anti-Semitism in the state's public education institutions. What's Ball State's stance on that measure?
Well, I haven't seen that particular proposed bill. There are several bills that are presently being either circulated or disseminated. I've seen the news accounts about it, but can't really comment on it because I haven't seen the specific legislation. I'm sorry.
All right, then. We move now from the First Amendment to the Second Amendment. A sizable portion of the United States population is armed and is fervent about their perceived right to bear arms. That issue is on college campuses, including our own. The Ball State Daily News reported 4 instances of firearms in residence halls last semester. One student in the Neuer complex discharged a weapon there, slightly injuring himself. The university has a policy against possessing or even bringing firearms to campus, except for law enforcement personnel. What has Ball State done since last semester to rid the campus of firearms in its buildings, and has the policy changed?
So first of all, I'm very concerned about those incidents. The safety of our students, of all of our faculty and staff and our campus visitors, their safety must be our most important priority. You said there was one that was discharged. I'm relieved that no one was seriously injured or frankly, even worse. So we needed to determine what more we can do to enforce the policy that you just described. So shortly after those incidents, I asked Roanne Royer Engel, who's our Vice President of Student Affairs, our University Police Department reports to her. I asked Roanne to convene a safety action team to develop a set of specific recommendations that we could implement for this spring semester. So 3 weeks ago, Roanne sent a message to the campus community identifying the actions that we were taking immediately. And they include things like increasing staff presence in our residence halls, to expand the hours when staff will be at the front desk, to increase also the presence of our safety police, our police in, to increase their presence in the residence halls to educate students about best practice safety measures, including the prohibition on firearms. And encouraging, we want our officers to train our students to tell them when and how to report suspicious behavior, because their eyes and ears are better than, are more prevalent. And to post more signs in residence halls and other places on campus about the prohibition of firearms. So we've implemented those specific recommendations immediately. The safety action team will continue to develop additional recommendations because we want to continue to be proactive. And so if we get additional recommendations, we'll implement them when I receive them.
Have you heard from any of your other Mid-American Conference colleagues about similar issues with firearms on their campuses?
I've not in recent times. I think I've heard of incidents several years ago, but not recently like we had this past fall.
And now for something, as John Cleese of Monty Python would say, and now for something completely different. Finally today, how's your ankle injury from that barn burner of a ping pong match with your son at Thanksgiving?
Yeah, well, I'm pleased to report I'm off of the scooter, and now I'm transitioning from a walking boot to an ankle brace. I'm able to ride a stationary bike with just light resistance, so literally taking one step at a time, but I'm making good progress.
And that was an ankle fracture in 3 places because of a lunge toward the table in this ping pong match, which is probably the finest match ever played at Brackenhaus.
It might be. It certainly was the most dramatic one. Yes, I was going for a backhand that my son had smashed to the far side of the court, and I didn't get to the ball.
But you got to the hospital.
I did, thanks to the outstanding EMTs at the Muncie Fire Department and some help from our University Police Department. Yes, I did.
All right. Well, we're glad you're on the mend. President Mearns, thanks for spending time with our audience today, and we'll see you next time.
Good. Look forward to seeing you. Have a great day, Stan.
You as well. For IPR News, I'm Stan Sollers.